Old Testament lesson today comes from 2 Samuel. I'm reading the first 17 verses of chapter 7. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be a prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. But I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. On the face of things, I imagine you are wondering, what in the devil is Keith doing giving us this Old Testament scripture passage about something that David and Nathan cooked up, and John, you know, somehow it got all stopped by God? What has this really got to do with anything? This is Christmas Eve, for crying out loud, Keith. What is wrong with you? Now, I ask that question pretty much every morning, and my wife does 3 or 4 times a day, so now you get to do it too. It is indeed Christmas Eve, the final Sunday in Advent as well. Here we are talking about Nathan and building a house and how to let them live in tents or not to live in tents and all of those things. And it seems strange. And it seemed strange to me at first when I read this so many months ago. And then I saw that this had a lot of meat in it that is really pretty good for us on this day, especially as we end Advent and be very well ready for Emmanuel, God with us. Remember that part. If we slow down, if we dwell into this very familiar passage and others that we have heard this morning, we just might see something here that will inform our actions and increase our good relationship with God the Father. On this day, we can make it a better relationship than it was yesterday. And each and every day, we can work to make it a better and better relationship. After all, Advent is about preparation for a closer walk with God, about learning how to work toward being who God has made us to be. It's not about getting from God what we want. God is not just short letters for Santa Claus. God has been wanting a relationship with us for all of God's people since the very beginning of creation. So let us step back just a bit and take a fresh look at this passage. A story where we just might have missed a couple of very important, yet not so in-your-face aspects of this scene. David, who has put down all of his enemies with the God's help, is now saying, "I'm in my house of cedar and I'm feeling pretty good. This is nice. Cedar keeps you young, right? It keeps all your clothes from getting moths and all that kind of stuff, so it must keep us younger too." But a cedar house is something royal and regal and very lasting. David was feeling pretty good. Perhaps he feels a great joy with his kingdom and thinks of how far he has come from being that youngest son, the littlest of all of the sons, who was out herding sheep. He has come from that to being God's very own chosen one to oversee God's people. This is amazing. But perhaps just in this a little bit, as he is thinking how wonderful God has been to him, how God has forgiven him of some of his sins and the things that he has done that weren't right, how God has stuck with him, how God has helped him in battles and everything. And perhaps he says, "Wait a minute, what have I done for God? God still lives in that tow tent, that tabernacle thing. And I am in here in this great place." Perhaps he's thinking, "I need to do better by God." He voices this to Nathan, the prophet, the one who should have heard the word of God. And both of them come to the conclusion this is a very good thing. And right here, it would be real easy to dump a lot of stuff on David and Nathan and say, "What was wrong with them? They didn't listen to God." I mean, let's face it. David wants to build a big old building for God so that he can show everybody, "See, God's right here. He's with me. Don't mess with me. I got God." Nathan is thinking probably, "Wait, I sleep in that tabernacle every night. When it rains in the wintertime, it's cold, and the flaps of that thing flap back and forth. I'm getting too old to be sleeping on a mat in that place. A nice room right off the main entrance in that cedar house would be good, with a nice big fireplace in there." Now, none of that comes out of Scripture. I think sometimes we think that, and it might be true. But the only thing that they can be really held guilty of, what comes forth in this scripture, is they didn't listen for what God wanted them to do. David had an idea and ran with it. Nathan, who was supposed to be talking to God, talking and listening to God, says, "Go do it. God is with you." Nathan, no doubt, goes back to where he goes to sleep, and God says, "Wait a minute, hang on, this is not what's going to happen. This is not what I meant to happen." And the word of the Lord came to Nathan. God didn't wait for Nathan to ask. God just, said, "Wait a minute. I have not lived in a house since the day I brought the people out of Israel. I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, wherever, Did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? That's the kind of questions God asks. God asks those questions that we should have thought about before we ever did anything. And I can't imagine how Nathan felt that night. After all, it was his job. It was his relationship with God. God says, y'all are getting this wrong. This is not what I mean to do with you. You can't build a building and put me in it. I'm sure that they meant nothing wrong. There was no nefarious thing there. Maybe a little ego from that male kind of side, that gene that we get that says, I want to do something to prove the certainty of my relationship with God. I want to build a building. Have you ever seen churches that are named for people? Yes, we do. We have lots of those. It's kind of scary. What is supposed to be God's house often gets turned around to be all about us. The thing is, this part about dwelling place, this place where you live, has a lot of different meanings. Like everything in the Hebrew text and in the Greek, there's a lot of different meanings tied up in this. If you go to Psalm 90, the first verse is just one of many a passage in the Old Testament that tells us that it seems to be where God is. Your dwelling place is with God. The opening verse to Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. There's no cedar homes there. There's no brick homes. Our home is supposed to be with God. Our home is supposed to be with God. Our dwelling place, the place that we live and go to, the place where you go when you get off of work and you go into your house, the home that you've lived in for a number of years, you feel a different feeling there than any other place, any place in the world. That the whole name home has a lot of stuff tied up in it, doesn't it? It does for me as a child of a pastor who moved constantly as a young person. And kept up that all the way through the rest of my life. Sorry, dear. I did live in one house for 11 years. That's my record. After that, it's like four. Or actually now eight, because I've been over here almost 8 years. This business, the biblical idea is that our home is not some geographical location. It is dwelling in God. We are supposed to be nomadic, able to move around however we want, except for where our home is, and that is dwelling with God. You remember Moses, as he was taking the people out of Egypt and going north, and God got mad at them because they sinned and built an idol. And Moses goes to God and says, we're not going anywhere without you. If you will not go with us, if we cannot be with you, we're staying right here too. I can just see the biggest smile on God's face when he heard that one. They got it. That's a good. Now tomorrow they'll mess it up. But now, right now they got it. This is good. I think David and Nathan did not see that. They did not understand that. And it's David should have felt it more than anyone else. God has been with him throughout his whole life, being there and dwelling with God. And there's a lot in this language of this, and we've read the verses from the psalm, and it goes throughout the book. This idea that wherever we see that your dwelling place, your tenting place, T-E-N-T-I-N-G, not tenting like color, but where they lived. They lived in tents so that they could be where God was no matter where God went. Their lives were to be all wrapped around being and following God wherever God told them to be. Not unlike the English, the Hebrew word for dwelling is the same root word of tent or tabernacle. The tent of meeting. The tent where God dwelled. That is home for God's people. It gives you a little different thought about this business of going home after church. At least it gives me a different thought. And if we fast forward 900 years or so to the Gospel of John, which we heard as the lighting of the Advent candles, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. If you translated this exactly correctly, more strictly, it would be, we have seen His glory. The Word became flesh and tented with us. He did not live among us. He lived right beside us. Or we got to go live beside Him. That is what the Gospel of John is telling us. That is what this whole bit of Advent is all about. Is understanding that our home has to be the place where God is. You don't go build a home and then ask God to come join you. You go join God wherever God is. I don't know the last time you slept in a tent. I remember mine. It was really cold. It started out raining. I was in the mountains. I was much younger. And still not any smarter today, but back then I learned one thing. When it gets cold enough in the mountains and it starts as rain, it turns to snow. And when everything you have with you is already wet, it begins to freeze. I think that was the last time I ever got in a tent. But what God is saying is, I am your tent. And I will take care of you. If you'll travel with me and be with me, then you'll be home. No matter where you go. No matter where you spend Christmas or Easter or anything else, I will be with you. That is exactly what God is looking for and what we should be seeking as we close out this Advent and we turn our thoughts and minds to a child. Who was born in a manger. It doesn't get much lower than that, does it? But he was God's own son. And came to live with us. Even coming to a manger. Through the centuries and through millennium, God has resisted and still resists being locked away in a temple or a home or a church building or anything else. God would rather mix it up in the chaos of the world that we live in so that we can grow closer and be the people that He had made us to be originally. As we leave this place this day, most of us to be gone and doing much different things through this night, this blessed night, just remember what God wants more than anything ever is for you to dwell in Him. I give thanks for a God that cares that much about us. God wants us to be at home in Him. Amen.